That's G-Man Choi. Sox one to deep right field. And that's going to go out in the berm. So G-Man Choi with a home run to make it 3-1.
All right, here you go. Looks like there's a curve that didn't really curve. Does that make sense?
No, that's what you're talking about.
I think he saw, I would guess he perceived that as straight. The spin is built in to get it backspin, and he missed the first, second, and right fielder.
All right, we're back, and we're going to round out this week's edition of the Talking Mets podcast with a grapefruit roundup. And you heard G-Man Choi got three hits yesterday. You heard the clip from his first home run a couple of weeks ago. Now, this is a spring signing. And just like Luke Voit and these veterans that come in the spring, you look at them and you're like, all right, they're there for insurance and if something goes bad. But when you start to think about it and you start to break it down, and the more that I over the last couple of weeks, I've read up about G-Man Choi and then looked at what the Mets have and the options that DJ Stewart has. He has a really good shot to make this ball club. And in a lot of ways, he fits what the Mets are looking to do. And at the DH spot, he's at least your left-handed complement that could hedge some issues you might have with potentially Vientos, if Vientos is, you know, unable to perform at a level that keeps him in the big leagues. Now, he's got a lot of Vogelback in him. And I know that's what you're going to say. He's a guy that walks a lot and not a burner out there. Unlike Vogelback, he has a position. I mean, Vogelback couldn't even give you a first base. I mean, Vogelback is truly an offensive player. And at least G-Man Choi can play first base. He can give you a little bit of that spell if Pete needs a day off to DH, or if, you know, he's out for a couple of days, or you know, maybe like last year, a short stint on the DL, a DL, IL. At least there's a downgrade, but it's not like you're scrambling to find somebody just to play the position, or signing, you know, a Luke Voit type just to sub in for 2 weeks. Now, he has a little bit of power. He actually has an elite walk rate. He's fifth out of all first basemen since 2019, and he's top 20 in all of baseball. Now, he doesn't hit 45 bombs like a Kyle Schwarber, but he's got a little bit of that, and he's hanging out with those guys in terms of taking pitches and walking, and his run creation as a left-hander against righties. And I know I had this spiel and this shtick when we were talking about Vogelback and Ruff and how the platoon against that side of the plate puts them in a position where they're better than J.D. Martinez. By the way, there's a rumor out there by Pat Ragazzo, our friend from over at Sports Illustrated, that the Mets could have gotten J.D. for Dom Smith back in 2022. Man, I would have taken that. I know J.D. Martinez was not having a great year in Boston, but geez, that would have been an interesting acquisition. And whatnot. But, you know, Choi, for what he does as a left-handed hitter, and I know what you say, Mike, you're getting into the same problem. You're trying to create an elite player like a J.D. Martinez or an elite run producer like a J.D. Martinez by parsing together a lefty platoon and a righty platoon. And maybe you're right, but at this point in J.D. Martinez's career, and the fact that he wants a two-year deal, and the fact that, you know, right now the Mets are looking to see what they have in Vientos and Beatty, and that you got to eventually figure out if Vientos is this guy. I mean, I know the numbers in spring haven't been good, but they had always said from the start, Stearns and Mendoza, that it's not just about the results. I mean, if you start to go to Baseball Reference and you start to look at, you know, they have that stat I told you, which is the opponent quality. I mean, most of these guys are facing double-A quality or less. And it's going to be hard to assess the results between the first three or four or five innings, then when they get up later on, you can't control that. And with teams not sending all their starters because of travel, it's you don't have a lot of teams to play on the East Coast of Florida, like where the Mets are. It's a whole big issue. There's all sorts of issues over here. You know, Florida spring training, that's a whole nother story, the Grapefruit League. You know, a lot of teams went to Arizona, and you could, you know, play a more variety of teams in Arizona the way that the state is set up. It's a lot harder to get from west to east in Florida with bus rides and everything. So I think Choi has an excellent shot at making the club. I think the real question will be, it's easy to option DJ Stewart down to AAA and say, okay, you're there, you'll get the first call up. And you know, because this guy has an opt out. I think he's going to make about $3 million if he makes the team. And I know the numbers were bad last year in Pittsburgh and San Diego, but he had Achilles injuries, ankle injuries, rib injuries. He had an injury-plagued year. So the history suggests, his history in Toronto, is that this is a solid component offensive player that gets on base, hits a little bit with pop, and could be a good middle of the, you know, not middle of the order, but maybe 6 or 7 hitter down there. And it takes a little bit of pressure off of Vientos. Vientos could just hit against left-handed pitching. Now, is that good for Vientos only to play once or twice a week? Probably not. But look, you don't have to just keep it to a straight platoon. You could look at matchups and maybe say, all right, Choi's going to get this matchups. Vientos maybe split the time 50-50. You give him like 250, 300 bats each. You know, Vientos could earn his way into the lineup a little bit. Now, the real question will be, now, I think already Mauricio's on the injured list for the 60-day. So to get Choi on the roster, you probably would have to, you know, designate somebody. And that's where this gets tricky. Now, Max Kranich, I don't know if they're going to put him on the 60-day DL for the hamstring, but that's a possibility since he's going to be out for a little bit. He's got options now, apparently, so that's good. There's another optionable arm that maybe could fill into the bullpen of the rotation. You know, maybe a Reed Garrett or a Michael Tonkin if they don't make the bullpen. I could see a trade. I think ultimately Stearns might have to get creative later in the spring, because that leads me to my other two names here in the bullpen that's making the bullpen interesting, and that's Sean Reed Foley and Johan Ramirez. Now, we talked about Ramirez on our Trashed and Treasure piece back in December, right after Christmas, and I had talked about how all the information that I had got, this could be a sneaky good transaction, that the guy produces ground balls at a high rate. He's got a 97-mile-an-hour sinker now, so he's throwing hard. Has a little bit of Edwin Diaz to his delivery. Last year had some success with Pittsburgh, and this was a sleeper. And so far, both he and then the second name, a name that you're familiar with, who had a really good start to the year in 2021, got hurt in 2022, was Sean Reed Foley, the last remaining pitcher from the Steven Matz trade with Toronto. You know, he's possibly, you know, had a really good spring. Since every time you look up there, he's striking out the side. Now, he still has a very high walk rate. I like Ramirez because he has a better resume, but Reed Foley is interesting. Both of these guys don't have options, so if they get sent down, they're going to get exposed to waivers. They're probably going to be lost. So the question is, you know, what do the Mets do? Now, here's something that, And remember, both Reed and Johan Ramirez are already on. I think Ramirez is on. Yes, they're both on the 40-man roster. So they're already that issue's already taken. Is good. Now, other names that we've talked about for that spot is Joey Lucchesi, Phil Bickford, another guy they could possibly lose. He hasn't had a good spring, but ultimately, to fit him into this scenario, you can potentially designate Bickford. You might lose him, but not the end of the world. And the other option, and we've talked about that with Fujinami, is that he missed spring training in the beginning. I know he's got electric stuff. I know everyone's excited about him. I know that even Jeremy Hefner talked about how this could be an elite all-star closer if he harnesses his stuff. We'll see. You know, it's his second year in the big leagues. I know he pitched a lot in Japan. He's got options. It may not be the craziest thing to send this guy down for the first month to really get himself situated down in Syracuse. It's really up in Syracuse, but it's down because of the minor leagues. That one's going to drive me crazy. That one's been driving me crazy for years. But and then you see what you have with Reed Foley and Johan Ramirez. I mean, Fujinami's not a guy in this bullpen right now that you have to have day one. It would be a shame that they let one of those guys go and they go somewhere else and they pitch really well, and Fujinami winds up getting sent down anyway because he gets off to a bad start. I think it's the best way possible. Now, Bickford's another guy that's interesting. They acquired him for the Dodgers. I know that, you know, he was with Milwaukee for a little bit, but, you know, he's a guy that's been around for a little bit. He struggled. He seems to be one of those relievers that is easily replaceable. And, you know, look, you lose a Tonkin, a guy that's meant to just gobble up innings. It's actually a good problem to have. I mean, the Mets actually have a good problem. It's interesting. They have a lot of good players, and they don't have enough spots. And that's a really interesting thing. And look, they sent down Josh Walker and Grant Hartwig. And Nate Lavender, I mean, that's a guy that eventually is going to push his way into the bullpen. I mean, here he is. He's striking out Paul Goldschmidt in the top of the Cardinals' order. Looking like Billy Wagner with, 7 miles an hour less. Hey, it's your buddy Mike Silva. Let's take a quick call to the bullpen here on the Talking Mets podcast. Are you enjoying the show? Of course, or else you wouldn't be listening. Want more Talking Mets? Of course you do. Now that wish can become a reality with Talking Mets Beyond the Mic. Why wait till Sunday to get your Talking Mets fix when you can get it throughout the week? Talking Mets Beyond the Mic is the Substack newsletter complement to the show. For just $5 a month, less than a cup of coffee, you could get multiple weekly long and short form columns, instant analysis on audio and video to breaking news, memories of Mets history and old shows from my secret vault, and listen to the weekly Talking Mets podcast commercial free. It's simple. Go to substack.com/@TalkingMetsNoG and sign up today. Full year subscribers even get a special discount. What more could you ask for? Don't wait. Go now and sign up for the Talking Mets Beyond the Mic newsletter. All right, now that you've done that, let's get back to Talking Mets. So, this is an exciting situation. The Mets might finally have not only a good bullpen, let's knock on a lot of wood there, but bullpen options if they need to dip into the minors. They don't have a lot of optionability. That's the only problem. Once these guys are on the roster, they're there. Fujinami's the guy that gives you some optionability. And then the real crime of it all is that, and I don't think they have to worry as much about the six-man rotation because Senga's out until the middle of May and maybe June 1st. I think June 1st. But they don't have that guy, which could be Luke Casey. But he's on call, and he's got options as well because I think it's going to be Quintana, McGill, Manaea, Severino, Hauser will be your opening day rotation. And then how Senga and what he does and who he pushes out and how that's played, that's for another day. And by the time Senga gets back, you'll know more about McGill, you'll know more about Manaea, you'll know more about Severino, you'll know more about Hauser. I mean, look, maybe Hauser becomes the swingman. Maybe he becomes Trevor Williams. So we'll see. So the Grapefruit Roundup, which I thought by now you'd have, and I originally had predicted Bickford was going to make the team and that the real question was going to be Fujinami, whether you were going to shuttle him for a sixth starter. And at this point, G-Man Choi wasn't on the team when I did my first roster prediction. But, DJ Stewart having options, regardless of how good he plays this spring, has to play into the decision because you want to see what you got. Spring training ends, but the evaluation period, the getting to know you phase, which is the first 60 days of the season, that continues. You don't have to have the perfect roster on opening day. It would be great if you did. And back once upon a time, you pretty much set your roster and then you adapted and adjusted for injuries. But that's not the way the league is now. It's just not. So interesting where we're at. So Sean Rifoli, Johan Ramirez, I'd like to see if the Mets, if they continue to pitch well, can you jam them into this roster? I think there's going to be trades at the end of spring training. Because I think the Mets, rather than lose guys to waivers, are going to say, hey, can we trade this guy to a team that has a need and pick up something that they could use, that player that has options, who knows? Maybe that's Reed and Johan Ramirez. Maybe they're like, hey, we don't think that these guys are long-term solutions, but they had a good spring. Let's leverage that and send them to a team. A lot of people have predicted Ramirez was going to take the spot. Reed Foley has given everybody something to think about. The walks always bother me with him. But they both look good, and you have to like what you see. And with Ramirez, to a certain degree, it shouldn't be a surprise because these are the kind of things that was advertised when he was picked up off the scrap. That's it for the latest edition of the Talking Mets podcast. Always enjoy talking to you guys. We're in the dog days of spring training. 3 weeks before the season, the opening day bell will be ringing and the journey will be beginning. So we'll be watching some of these things throughout the spring, position of battles. And look, every time I think there's nothing to talk about, there's something to talk about. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the latest edition of the Talking Mets podcast. You can check me out all the time at thetalkingmetspodcast.com. Get me on X at TalkingMetsNoG and on your favorite podcasting service, Apple, Spotify, whatever you desire. And if you want to interact with me, Mike Silva at TalkingMetsPodcast.com. No G, Mike Silva at TalkingMetsPodcast.com. Get me on the newsletter, substack.com/@TalkingMetsNoG. And of course, I want to thank the good folks and fans of the podcasting network. I'm your host, Mike Silva. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Back to the another Talking Mets podcast next week. Till then, take care.